What one election victory last night might tell us about the future of financial reform.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Senator Blanche Lincoln survived a strong challenge to win her Democratic primary in Arkansas. It wasn't just political junkies who were focused on that race. Bankers were watching, too, and they may not be crazy about how things turned out. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich joins me live now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Bob.
First, let's explain why the big banks might care so much about a Senate primary in Arkansas.
As the financial reform bill came together, Senator Lincoln became the champion for reforming derivatives trading. Derivatives are complex securities that get some of the blame for the financial crisis. Lincoln got a provision into the Senate bill that would force banks to spin off their derivatives operations. And that's something banks like Citigroup and Goldman Sachs say would cost them billions of dollars.
So was this derivatives thing a big part of the campaign?
Yep, definitely was. Lincoln's championing of the derivatives ban was a prime example to say, hey, I'm taking on Wall Street, I'm taking on the big financial interests in politics, and that message continued right through her victory speech last night.
The vote of this senator is not for sale, and neither is the vote of the people of Arkansas.
I wonder, though, given that the financial reform bill still hasn't been settled in Washington, is this a signal that the banks have lost this battle over derivatives?
Well, Senator Lincoln is on the conference committee that's resolving the differences between the House and Senate bills. The derivatives ban is not in the House version, but winning last night definitely puts wind in her sails. On the other hand, one of the most powerful Democrats in the negotiations is Congressman Barney Frank, and he signaled he might want to soften or even eliminate the derivatives ban from the final bill.
Marketplace's Jeff Horwich, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is this good news or not? China reports strong exports last month, which might bode well for the globalized economy, but it's not going to keep energy prices lower, given that China is the world's second biggest consumer of oil. Most Asian markets, as you might expect, got a healthy lift from that news. Shanghai stocks bounced 2.75%, while oil prices are up 1%. And in early European trading, the major stock markets are down a fraction. White House budget planners are getting ready to tighten the government's purse strings. Departments and agencies have been ordered to identify their lowest performing programs to help trim 5% of federal spending. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
Instead of imposing budget cuts from the top down, White House officials want agencies to come up with their own ideas for trimming the fat. Maya McGinnis of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget says it's a good idea to turn to the folks on the front lines.
They know the programs the best. They have the hands-on experience with them, and I think they'll come up with an awful lot of good ideas of programs that are outdated, inefficient, and really don't need to be there anymore.
The president's budget director hopes to see a lot of wasteful duplication on the chopping block. For example, the 40 programs to promote job training. But Howard Rosen with the Trade Adjustment Assistance Coalition, which advocates for worker retraining, says you're not going to balance the budget by going after small programs.
The reason they're small is because they don't have a very loud constituency, and so it's very easy to cut these programs.
The inspiration for making agencies cut the budget came from the Defense Department, which has turned to the military bureaucracy to identify savings. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Starting today, McDonald's is offering $3 refunds to customers who bought drinking glasses promoting the new Shrek movie. That's actually a buck more than they were selling for. The glasses are being recalled because they're tainted with cadmium, a development that may have consumers wondering what they're going to have to worry about next. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus has been looking into that. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
We heard so much concern about Chinese products tainted with lead coming into the country some time ago. Now this, is there any indication that this problem is also coming from China?
Very unclear at this point, Bob. I asked McDonald's where the paint comes from, and they said it was manufactured in France. But I put this to Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who received the anonymous tip in the first place that there was cadmium in the glasses. And I pointed out that Europe has very, very stringent regulations when it comes to cadmium. It seems difficult to imagine that a manufacturer in France was using this substance in a paint Congresswoman Speer agreed with that. She didn't think that this originated in Europe at all. Her suspicion was that, like so many other cadmium-tainted products, the road is going to take us all the way to China. She suspects perhaps a subcontractor or a provider of the ingredients for the paint. It seems very likely because China is one of the leading producers in the world of cadmium, and Congresswoman Speer tells me that's the way she's going to be looking.
And from that, I take it that this is not the last that we have heard probably of cadmium.
Not at all. In fact, Congresswoman Speer says she has legislation in the works that would expand the cadmium ban in the United States, not just to surfaces of kids' toys, but any product intended for children or marketed to children. The Consumer Product Safety Commission tells me they, in fact, do plan to have new rules in place, at least for public scrutiny, by the end of the summer.
Why do you think that this hasn't been on the regulatory radar screen until now?
I think this is one of those things where it just people didn't know. For so long, people were focused on the dangers of lead, and it didn't really occur to anybody to think, okay, well, if you take the lead out, what could manufacturers put in to replace it? We very quickly saw that the Chinese were putting cadmium in as a replacement to get those vivid pigments, the reds and the yellows, and we started seeing cadmium rocketing up in children's products. Now that we see what lead is being replaced with, then we're going to have to go after the replacements, and after that, of course, we'll go after the replacements for the replacements.
Business columnist David Lazarus of the LA Times, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally this morning, I'll bet a lot of Japanese men never knew it was this simple. But it seems all it takes to attract a good woman is owning government bonds issued by the country's finance ministry. Bloomberg Businessweek is reporting some new magazine ads over there feature a young Japanese woman along with this quote, "I want my future husband to be diligent about money." And just to drive the point home, she adds, "Playboys are no good." I guess that's if you want the kind of relationship you can take to the bank. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.